I pick up my life and take it with me, and I put it down in Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, Harlem, any place that is north and east and not Dixie. I pick up my life and take it on the train to Los Angeles, Bakersfield, Seattle, Oakland, Salt Lake, any place that is north and west and not south. I am fed up with Jim Crow laws, people who are cruel and afraid, who lynch and run, who are scared of me and me of them. So I pick up my life and take it away on a one-way ticket, gone up north, gone out west, gone. When I was 13 years old, my mother moved to a town called Lincoln, Illinois. I was in the 8th grade grammar school. At that time, we didn't have junior high schools, so when you graduated from the 8th grade, you went to high school. In this 8th grade graduating class in Lincoln, Illinois, on the day that I entered, the students were talking about holding a class election. It seems that they'd heard that the high school across the street had class officers, so they wanted to have officers too. Well, the teacher was explaining to the class that day the duties of class officers. She said, of course, that the president had to know how to run a meeting, and the secretary had to know how to write, and so on. And then when she got to the office of class poet, she stressed rhythm. She said a poem must have rhythm. Well, now, I was a stranger in the class. I'd entered about 4 weeks after the school year had begun. I didn't know any of the other pupils. They didn't know me. I was one of two Negro children in that class. I didn't expect to be elected to any class office, being new there, you know. And besides, on the way home from school that day, the one other Negro pupil, a girl, told me that she never heard of colored children being elected to anything in the schools there in Lincoln, Illinois. She said, this is a prejudiced little town. Well, she was just about right. It was a kind of American small town that, at that time, did not permit Negroes to eat in any of the restaurants downtown. If you were colored and you went to the movies, you had to sit in the last row on the left. If that single row was crowded that night, you couldn't go to the movies if you were a Negro. Well, the next day when the class election was held, sure enough, all of the officers were nominated and voted upon and elected, except one office. And the colored girl who'd been in the class all the 8 terms with the other pupils was not nominated or elected to anything. And of course, my name wasn't mentioned. But when they got onto the very last office, down to the very bottom of the blackboard, underneath Sergeant at Arms even, that was the office of class poet, and there weren't any nominations at all. The pupils looked around at each other, and it seemed that nobody in the class looked like a poet. Nobody even looked like he or she could write a poem, so the problem was who to nominate for class poet. The teacher said, you do want a class poet, don't you? And all the youngsters said, well, yes, we do. And she said, well, you have to nominate somebody. So finally, a little white boy got up and turned around and looked at me and called my name, and right away the whole class said, I... Unanimously, I was elected the class poet. Well, I thought that was just because nobody else wanted the office. But in thinking about it that night a little more carefully, I remembered that the teacher the day before, in defining what a poet had to possess, had stressed the word rhythm. And I knew that, in my experience, almost all American white people at that time seemed to think that all Negroes could sing and dance and that all of us had a sense of rhythm, sort of conventional belief, you know? So I came to the conclusion that maybe poetry, rhythm, color, me, a Negro, that little boy had thought he must have some rhythm to give a poem, and maybe that's why I was elected the class poet. At any rate, I'm glad that I was. Up to that time, I had not really thought about writing in any serious way at all. Although my mother liked poetry, she used to recite poetry a great deal. In fact, she used to make me recite poems on church programs and school programs when I was little. And I must say, I didn't like it very much, having to stand up in public and say rhymes. But when I began to work on my class poem, and I had all winter to write it, you know, it wasn't due till graduation in the spring, I began to sort of take an interest in reading poetry. My class poem turned out to be just about the longest poem I've ever written, even up to now. It was 16 verses long. I had 8 for the class and 8 for our teachers, because we had 8 teachers in the school. Well, it's a wonder anybody liked it, but when I stood up and read the poem at graduation in June, Everybody applauded very loudly, and I was so pleased by all that applause that ever since that time I've been writing poetry.